Welcome to the Wise Money Show with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Get your questions ready and send them to wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Questions about finances, long-term care, insurance, and everything that goes along with preparing for the next phase of your life. Gar and Leanne Lenander have the answer. Email your questions to wisemoney@klbbradio.com or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. And now it's Wise Money on KLBB with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial Services.
Welcome to the Wise Money Show. It's Leanne and Garwin Lenander with some questions. We're always getting questions, and certain things come up time after time. And I'm sure people who hear them, who have followed up on them, say, why are they bringing them up? Because we get those same questions over and over and over.
Because those questions are so important to the individual, and that's why we get the calls.
So let's start out with one. Before we do that, let's give our phone numbers. 651-436-3997.
Or 651-365-5000.
Okay, let's take the first question. We're near at the end of the year. One of the things people are going to be involved in who have investments are the required minimum distributions, their RMDs. Number one, I have had, I don't know how many times I've had people tell me, well, I don't really want to take it. Do I have to take it out? And if I don't take it out, what's going to happen? So, Leanne, I'm going to let you answer that question.
Well, the required minimum distribution is on your retirement account. And you must take it by April 1st, the year after you turn 70 and a half. Because if you don't, you will have a 50% penalty, and the government does not forget. Now, remember, this is not just a one-time thing. This is every year. So think carefully about when you want to take it, and when you look at what you're supposed to take, you go back, and they'll either tell you on your statements what you should take for that year, or you look and find out what the value was on 12/31 of the account that you're supposed to take it from, and then you look at your age. And there's a chart that's out there that'll tell you what you have to take out. You can always take out more, but you have to take a required minimum out.
What if I've got three different accounts? I got three different IRAs. How does that work?
Well, you can take it out from each one of them, or you can take it out from one of them and include all three balances that you have to take out. So review what you've got. And just because you have another one out there and you kind of forget about that, you've got to either take it from that one or include it in another one. So that required amount is just exactly what it says. There's a required amount that you have to withdraw.
What the IRS wants, in theory, is to have these accounts empty by the time your mortality is... I said that wrong. By the time you are supposed to have died, your IRA accounts are supposed to be empty.
That's right. They're looking at the values of your accounts. They're looking at your age, and they've got this all down and it's all charted, and then they'll go from there. But they want that amount to come out, and eventually it will go away.
And, of course, if you don't get it all out before you die, then your beneficiaries, which we're going to talk about a little bit later, will get the remainder.
Okay, and there's another one, too. We inherit IRAs.
Now, how do you do that?
An inherited IRA, when you take it and get it after, like, a spouse dies, or like your uncle or your aunt dies, or your parent dies. And, Garwin, do you know what the inherited IRA is?
Well, the inherited IRA is simply the remainder of a IRA that has not been taken out as income.
And you're inheriting it because that individual is now gone.
And they have named you as their beneficiary.
And you have to, if they've already started that required minimum distribution, then you have to continue with that required minimum distribution. If they haven't started it, and you are the spouse, and you're going to inherit, and it's just going to pass between your spouse and to you, then you can choose when you want to take it out, but you have to follow the rules there and be sure you start by the April 1st of the year after you turn 70 and a half.
Now, let's clear that up and make sure that people understand this. If you are inheriting one from a spouse, you are able to do whatever that spouse was doing. If the spouse had not taken income yet, if they weren't 70 and a half, you don't have to take it, correct?
Correct.
But if they are already on income, then you've got to continue to be on income.
Well, for particularly if you're a child. Now, when you get to the fact that it was your spouse who had done it and they're transferring it over, you have to look at your age in there, too, and see what's going to work best for you.
But the only one who has that right to look at it is a spouse.
Correct.
Children or
aunts
or uncles or nephews and nieces aren't allowed to do that. They have to continue income. They cannot defer it.
That's right.
Okay, so that's very important. Inherited IRAs are very important that you follow the rules and make sure you know what's going on. We've talked a couple weekends about charities. What's the most important thing to remember, Leanne, when you give to a charity?
Be sure that you know that charity is real. And the other thing is, when you're going to give to that charity, keep a receipt and put it with your taxes. The big thing is it a real charity? So many people get all this stuff in the mail, and they're really not sure. And so they think, oh, it sounds good. But be sure you know that that charity is a real charity. And then be sure you turn it in to your CPA so that you can take credit for giving that money to charity.
Or other gifts, whatever it happens to be, televisions, whatever the values are. But you need a receipt.
And we've been talking about beneficiaries here, Garwin. So let's just talk about who has to have a beneficiary. And one of them that's very important, and we get questions on this a lot, is how do we set up a beneficiary? Number one, for your IRAs. Number two, for your insurance policies. And number three, for your annuities. Now, with your IRAs, it's automatically you have a form that you can go ahead and fill that in as to who's your beneficiary. How do insurance companies work with that?
Well, the insurance companies are typically, you have a beneficiary that's asked. No, not typically. You always have a beneficiary asked when you buy life insurance. Who do you want as your beneficiary? Typically, it's a spouse or the children or whatever. You can name your beneficiary. It can be a charity, too, of course. But that is typically done upon the issuance of a life insurance contract. The big problem is, what happens if the beneficiary has passed away? Then who gets the money? And I had a situation one time, and I've told this before, where I'm going to make the names Bob and Mary. I'm sitting down with them, and I'm looking at their life insurance, and the beneficiary was Matilda. And I said, well, who's Matilda? Well, I knew that was the wrong thing to ask when I asked it, because Matilda was the first wife, and he had never changed the beneficiary. And, of course, Mary came unglued. I'm sorry I brought that up. I should have whispered it in his ear later on, but I didn't. It was just dumb. But you've got to be careful about that. If the beneficiary is deceased, then, and you don't have a contingent, which would be to take place of the main beneficiary, then if you've got it, somebody is going to get that money. Where's it going to go? It's going to go to somebody. And where do you want it to go?
So if the question becomes, what if something happens to me? What if I don't have a beneficiary? Then you have to look at what?
Then you've got to name a beneficiary. I mean, it's just, I just won't allow it to sit there not being, because it goes to the estate, and then you got to go to court. So you've got to have a beneficiary. In fact, I just had a situation this week where a fellow we were changing beneficiaries, and he said his dad was in his 80s, and he was on Medicaid. And he said, I suppose that wouldn't be too good to have a $500,000 to go to my dad who's on Medicaid if the government's going to get the money then. And I said, no, let's get your dad off. And that's what he did. But you've got to be careful that you set that thing up properly.
What about annuities? That's another one that's always questioned.
Always questioned. It's the same thing. There's a place on the application for the beneficiary. It's the same thing. 10 or 15 years later, that beneficiary is gone. Where's that money going to go? Somebody's going to get that money that you may not want to get the money. Now, the companies don't get to keep the money. Don't get me wrong. But somebody's going to be involved. And God forbid there's a lawsuit to get me the money because I'm the nephew that I never liked that old guy, but now he was my favorite uncle, and I should get that money. And, of course, we get involved in things like that all the time. So, again, it's the same thing. Who's the beneficiary? If I don't have a beneficiary, do I have a main beneficiary? Do I have a contingent beneficiary? You must have them.
Let's just talk a minute, Darwin, about probate. Why don't you hit that? Because I think a lot of people are not aware of the problems that you can get into if you don't have everything lined up, and probate is one of them.
Probate simply is what is rolled into all of the assets that are not taken care of by beneficiaries or a trust goes into probate. And everything, such as the life insurance proceeds, if there isn't somebody there to receive that money. Remember, beneficiaries always take precedent over probate. But the probate is simply a catch-all to clean up all of the assets that aren't passed on by beneficiaries. And the problem with probate is that's subject to anybody can go down to the county courthouse and find out. And most people say, oh, I don't want that. No, then you name beneficiaries to get that money out of your estate when you die.
And that's the big thing. What's going to happen when you die to your estate? You have to look at how big the estate is. You have to look at your family. You have to look at the fact of, do you have the option to have beneficiaries? What is the thing that you need to look at regarding your estate and the problems that can be created if you don't have it set up?
That's why it's so important to look at those beneficiaries on the old life policies or the annuities or your mutual funds or your stocks. Who's going to get that money when you die? Somebody's going to get that money. And typically, if it isn't taken care of, I guarantee there's going to be some lawsuits. Because nothing turns greed on faster than a little pile of money laying there that, oh boy, I think I might be able to get into that.
The other thing is how you label it in the beginning. Is it in your name? Is it in joint? How is it labeled in the beginning? And that makes a difference, too.
Leanna, real quickly, we've got 30 seconds. Talk about the powers of the health care powers of attorney.
Well, when you're dealing with your health care, if you have an accident or anything like that, and you don't have anybody down that can help work with your estate and work with you, then what you need is somebody that can work with you through the power of attorney and also take on dealing with how you are to be handled. And that's one that comes in that's called the health care directive. So those are two different things that you really, really need to go through. And so you have your will, you have your estate plan, but you have to look at the health care directive. What do you want? Can't do the things that you want to do. And your durable power of attorney for finance. And also that gets kind of rolled in with your health care situation.
We're running out of time. Leanne, thank you for being with us this morning on the Wise Money Show. And join us again next week.
Experience counts now more than ever. When it's time to trust your finances to someone else, experience counts. And Lenander Financial Services are financial professionals who specialize in assisting people just like you with personal finance, investments, retirements, insurance, and long-term care planning. Call Garwin and Leanne Lenander at 651-436-3997. That's 651-436-3997. Lenander Financial Advisory. Experience counts.
Thank you for joining us this morning for Wise Money with Garwin and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial. Join Gar and Leanne each Saturday morning at 11:45 for more of the Wise Money Show. Email your questions to Gar and Leanne, and the address is wisemoney@klbbradio.com. That's wisemoney@klbbradio.com. Or visit them online at wisemoney-klbb.com. That's wisemoney-klbb.com. Join us again next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Gar and Leanne Lenander of Lenander Financial on Club 1220 KLBB.